Israeli. Er wird mein I'm going to do this a little bit off the cuff. So we need a little bit of Siyata Deshmaya. We always need Siyata Deshmaya. That's a famous Miami Boys Choir song. Maybe even more so than usual. Okay. This week's parsha, and by this week's I mean this past week's parsha, with all of its fascinating stories and anecdotes, perhaps none are more famous and none have had more ink spilled over them than the story of the Akedah. It has occupied not just the minds of the Rishonim and our Gedolim, our Chachamim, but also of philosophers the worldwide. Almost everyone wrote about the Akedah, spoken about the Akedah, etc. It is a fascinating event. And it is one that unfortunately, and again, I don't know that there's any solution for this, but one that we tend to downplay. By downplay, I don't mean that we don't, of course we, at our davening, we say, remember the Akedah, and it's such a massive part of our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davenings, but truth be told, we don't think of it as such a nisayon, because we've heard about it since the time that we're four. We know exactly what's going to happen. We know the end before it even starts. So we don't actually think that it was such a big deal. But it was a very big deal. In fact, Rav Rivlin, the Mashgiach of KBY, he's big into learning not just Gemara, not just Mishnah, but also Tanakh. And he says that one of the greatest problems that we have when we learn Tanakh is that we know the end. And he proves it from this past week's parsha. What's his proof? He says that Vayikra lav malach Hashem min hashamayim. Vayomer Avraham Avraham vayomer hineini. So he says that hineini is the most misunderstood hineini in all of Tanakh, perhaps. Because when we read the story, we know the end. So we see the words, Vayikra lav malach Hashem min hashamayim. We see the words, and the angel called out to him. And what do? We say, phew! We breathe a sigh of relief, and we say, thank God, it's over. He's about to call it off. But Avram Avinu did not know that the malach was about to call it off. He said, hineini. He said, here I am. Command me to do whatever. For all you know, the malach was about to say, oh, and Avram, when you're done with that, you're next. And still, he says, hineini. It's a tremendously difficult nisayon. Again, we don't tend to think of it as such, because we're so accustomed to the ending. We know that it all ends well. You know, maybe according to the Midrash, not entirely well, because Sarah died as a result of that, but all ends well as far as we're concerned. And therefore, we tend to not think of it as the most arduous of nisyonos. But it is. Except that maybe it's not really that difficult. Or at least the question has to be raised. Is it that difficult? After all, and many, many raise this question, but after all, God Himself has told Avraham to go and sacrifice Yitzchak. Now, if you hear the word of God telling you to do something, there's no nisayon involved in that. And anyone that thinks that there is, that means that there is a lack and there is a deficiency in their emunah. Because your greatest responsibility is not to your friends, not even to your family and your wife, your kids, not even to yourself. Your ultimate allegiance is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the true allegiance of an Ish Ma'amid. And if God tells you to sacrifice your son, if you hear it straight from God, obviously, from the horse's mouth, if you hear it straight from God, it's not a nisayon. So what really was the nisayon over here? Again, sometimes people hear that question and they say, it's not such a question, because after all, yeah, you still have this unknown. This is a real question. Because a real ma'amin does the word of God. And Avram was the greatest of ma'aminim. The paradigm, the exemplar of ma'aminim. So what was the nisayon? So Rav Avram Shor in the Lekach Ve'alibub quotes Rav Shach. You could look it up. If those of you that don't have a Lekach Ve'alibub, and most people don't have that volume, it's one that's hard to obtain. Nachbar has one in his Malkum. If you'd like, you could look in there. But it's also in Rav Shach Sefer De Avi Ezri al Rambam. You could look it up there. He gives a beautiful pshat, but that's not even the pshat that I want to talk about. I'd rather, I'm going to spend more time talking about the second pshat in the name of the Chiddush Harim. But he gives the following pshat. He says the following: of all the Nevi'im that we've had, there is one that stands out. And who is that standout Navi? Moshe Rabbeinu. Lokam b'Yisrael k'Moshe od. There is nobody that's like Moshe. What separates Moshe from everyone else? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Pe'el, pe'adol berbo, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Be'mar'eh ve'lo bechidot, clear vision, it's not riddles, it's not anything, it's clear. And it was necessarily so, because Moshe was the transmitter of Torah, there was no room for any misinterpretations, there could be no ambiguities. There has to be an absolute clear picture with Moshe Rabbeinu. However, other Nevi'im did not have the same level of Nevuah as Moshe Rabbeinu. Included amongst those is Avraham. They had a second level Nevuah, what is called Aspaklaria She'eina Me'ira, a vision that was not 100% clear. The example I'd like to give is... I will not be able to give this example for many years to come, but you guys are probably still in that generation of Talmidim that I can, in fact. That is when, certainly when I was growing up, and maybe even some of you growing up, you might have had radio tuners that were not digital, but rather that you had to move a line across the string of numbers and tune into the station. And as you're doing it, you're that wiki, 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 until you finally nail it down. And then, like, you kind of get it, but you don't exactly get it. Depends, like, if you put the radio on the 46 degree angle and you prop a book under it and then the antenna is just jotting out the other way, then you could maybe tune into the station, but it comes in a little bit murky, a little bit unclear, and sometimes you're not quite sure what exactly they were saying. You know, you're up late at night listening to sports radio and you're like, did the Yankees win? What's going on? I wish I knew. And you try to play with the radio a little bit. It comes in unclear. And then you try to guess based on what they say after when they give you the box scores. Oh, Don Mattingly had a single. He used to play first base for the Yankees a long time. Whatever it is. Dave Winfield struck. You're like, oh, maybe. And you try to construct the case based on the bits of pieces that you hear. It's coming in unclear. So that's a little bit what Aspaklaya She'eina Me'ira is. It is not 100% clear. Says Rav Shach, that was the Nisayon of the Akedah. Because I had set it up for you, I had said, what was the big deal? If you hear it from God, then it's not a test anymore. But the fact is that Avraham didn't hear a clear message from God. Avraham heard an ambiguous message. Aspaklaria She'eina Me'ira. And when something is coming in unclear, and the person now has to interpret it, it is a tremendous nisayon for a person to interpret the message without any of his own personal negios. We spoke a little bit about this in Rabbi Ali Arman's house. Pesach libi besorasecha. Why psach libi besorasecha? Open my heart. It should be psach sichli besorasecha. What is the lev? Why is the lev so significant? So he gave his own answer, but another answer is that the lev, your emotion, filters messages for you. Based on how you feel about certain things, you'll interpret messages. For example, if a person is addicted to drinking. He loves drinking. I'm talking about even whatever it is. It doesn't have to be heavy drinking. I'm talking about a person is addicted to drinking Coke. He loves to drink Coke. For whatever reason. He loves to drink Coke. You can show him all the studies in the world that tell him how Coke is going. You put a tooth in a cup of Coke overnight, it will rot. And you can show him all the studies about caffeine, and you can show him all the studies about food coloring and corn syrup and whatever you want to show him. But if he loves Coke, if he's emotionally, he'll find a way to corrupt the studies. Ah, no, because you have to understand that's true, that if the tooth stays in the cup all night, then it will decay, but the amount of contact time that it has with your teeth is minimal. It never stays in your mouth all night. You know, I drink it from a straw. You find 101 ways to get out of it. It goes behind my teeth. I drink caffeine-free Coke. All of these things, right? Because your emotion dictates to you when you have a negia, when you have a negia, there is a word for it in English, and if it was earlier in the evening, I may have been able to come up with it. But when you have when you're inclined towards something, then that clouds your entire judgment. So Avraham Avinu had a tremendous negia. He's been pining for his son for many years. For many, many years, 100 years to be exact. He's been waiting for the son, and here he is. And he loves him dearly. This is the culmination of all of his dreams. In Yitzchak, he sees the fulfillment of his lifelong ambition to be able to pass on monotheism to future generations and to the world at large. In Yitzchak, he sees the culmination of all the promises from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a tremendous amount of negia. And there it was, coming in the message, a little bit unclear. You know, he hears it like that. I want you to... Chances are, right, when you have negias, the temptation would be to say, nah, he couldn't have said kill. He must have said feel. Right? It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to... And that is motivated by his personal negia. And there is the real test. The test was for Avraham to temporarily suspend his negios, to say, put that on the side, and say, I have to listen to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's sending me a message, and I have to be intellectually honest and do that which he wishes. And that was the Nisayon, says Rav Shach. Now, it goes without saying, fellas, that we have many messages coming in from HaKadosh Baruch Hu on any given day. And we also have many, many personal negios that intercept those messages on any given day. And the test, the akedah that we go through on a daily basis is identical to Avraham's in a certain sense. And that is, are we or are we not going to allow our personal negios to cloud our judgment? Are we going to listen to those messages? Or are we going to ignore it because we have personal negios? That is one approach to the test. But I'd like to take it in a different direction now. Based on the Chidushei Harim. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if we should open up with this question, but we will, and keep it on the back burner, and we'll hopefully get back to it at the end. The Mishnah says, Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Asar Nisyonos Nisnase Avraham Avinu Ve'amad Bekulam. There were 10 Nisyonos that Avraham Avinu was tried. Amad Bekulam, he passed all of them. Lehodia, what was the point of these nisyonos, that we be aware of them? Kama chiboso shel Avraham Avinu. to tell us just how much Avraham Avinu loved Hashem. Okay. There's two questions that one could ask on this Mishnah. There's many questions one could ask on the Mishnah, but two that we should ask. First of all, why does this Mishnah have any relevance to my life? What does the fact that Avraham Avinu passed 10 Nisyonos have to do with me? Second of all, how do we know that he passed the Nisyonos because of Chibaso Shel Avraham Avinu? The fact that he passed all of this test was indicative of his love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe it was Yira, fear of God. Maybe it was Ne'emanus, a sense of loyalty. What about it was Ahava? How do we know? Put those on hold and we'll get back to that Bezrat Hashem towards the end. When the Akedah opens up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham, Kachnas, Bincha, Sichitcha, Asher, Ahavtes, Yitzchak, V'lech lecha al Eretz Amoriah, V'lo Hashem lo'la al Echad Arim Asher Omar Alecha. Kachnas, Bincha, your son, Yechidcha, your only, Asher, Ahavta, that you loved, Es Yitzchak, V'lech lecha, go to the Eretz Amoriah, etc. I'm sure everyone's aware of Rashi. Your son, I have two sons, your only son, they're both only, each one is singular to his mother. Yishmael to Hagar, Yitzchak to Sarah. Asher Ahavta, I love them both. And finally, Es Yitzchak. What was the point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu introducing it as such? Bincha Yechidcha Asher Ahavta Es Yitzchak. Why couldn't he just cut to the chase and say, Kach na es Yitzchak. Take Yitzchak. What's the pshat? So the Chidush Harim says the following. The Chidush Harim says, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Hu amar vayehi. He, capital H, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayehi. The minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu utters something, it becomes a reality. Obviously, most famously, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. All of creation was God speaks, and as He speaks, it becomes a reality. Says the Chidush Arim, thank you very much. The continuation of the previous story. Says the Chidush Harim the following. When God speaks the word Kach na es bincha, when He then defines the relationship between Avraham and Yitzchak as bincha, then that was the epitome of a father-son relationship. Right? There can be no greater connection between father and son than there was when God said, Bincha. You know, imagine, some of us are, you know, some of us have better relationships with our fathers, some have the best friend type of fathers, some don't. All of that is irrelevant. Nothing compares to the relationship that Yitzchak and Avraham had the minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bincha. And in a similar vein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asher Ahavta. The minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asher Ahavta, at that point, Hu Hamar, He says, Vayehi. There is no greater love felt in the world than Avraham felt for Yitzchak. And at that point, God says, sacrifice Yitzchak. That is the Nisayon according to the Chidush Harim. It's true it was the Word of God, but the Word of God wasn't a word of God that told him to sacrifice stam anything. Even a son is stam anything compared to when once it says Asher Ahavta. It means that at that point, Avram felt nothing more. There was nothing more powerful than the love he felt for Yitzchak. And God was saying, take that and sacrifice it. An almost impossible task. It's not only Asher Ata Ohev. It's Asher Ahavta. Ahavta means that you have... It's as if to say that this love has been with you from always. Something that you suddenly fall in love with today, it's a strong emotion of love, true, but it can't possibly be as deep as something that you've loved already for a month, which can't possibly be as deep as something that you loved for 10 months or 10 years. So this was Asher Ahavta from the past. This was the most intense love, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, Avraham, sacrifice that. That is the Nisayan of the Akedah. We all have things in life that we love. We love... Some of us love TV. Some of us love cars. Some of us love stories. Some of us love Torah. Some of us love Shiurim. Some of us love... Right. All of those things. And you know what, after a year and change in Israel, it could be the Torah is the top of our list. We love Torah more than anything. But the bottom line is, we still love a lot of other things. And the minute we love a lot of other things, even if we love Torah a lot, even if it's top on our list, sometimes that love for other things may creep up and say, how about a game of basketball? And again, this is not a referendum on whether or not you can play basketball or not. I don't want to get into specific details. My point is simply that we have sometimes loves for things that are outside of Torah that threaten to impinge on Torah. And our Nisayon is, like Avraham, to sacrifice those loves for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Torah. That too is an Akedah. We say that you have to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, most people tend to believe, and correctly, that Mesiris Nefesh is giving up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they think that what that means is that if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, bow down to this Buddha idol or I'll kill you, you're supposed to say, Baruch Hashem, Al-Kel, Melech Lam, Shay Tzivan, Asher Kiddushan, B'Mitzvah, B'Tzivanu, Al-Kiddush Hashem, and... Hey, go ahead. You guys know that joke? Alright, I'll just say it quickly. there's a brisker. Briskers are fair. Who's confronted by a Gentile, only this Gentile is not so gentle, and he puts a gun to his head and he says, bow down to the Buddha or I'm going to kill you. So the brisker says to him, wow, all right, I have to bite the bullet, literally. He says, if you don't mind, just let me say a bracha. And he says, with full kavana, Baruch Atah Hashem. And he says the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvah yisab b'tzivanu. And tears are streaming down his eyes. Al Kiddush Hashem. And the Gentile, the not-so-gentle Gentile sees this and he says, wow, that is the most beautiful and sincere thing I've ever seen. I can't kill you now. So the brisker says to him, It's a half sec! That is, if you're ever giving a shir on the serious nefesh, if it means to actually kill yourself al kiddush Hashem or just to be willing to kill yourself al kiddush Hashem, as a hakira, that's a great opening for the was he mekayem the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem by simply willing to die? Or does he have to die? Anyway, so, le'inyaneinu, back here. So, Mesiras Nefesh, most people, correctly, rightfully so, it means giving up your life when the guy holds the gun to their head. And that's true. Nobody can argue that that is not Mesiras Nefesh. But it should be noted that that is not the only thing that is Mesiras Nefesh. In fact, in this coming week's Parsha, Avraham Avinu has a conversation with the Bnei Ches, and they say, how can we help you? You know, Nesir Lekim Atabek Yerbeinu, Bimchar Kivrein Kvoris Mesecha, etc. Nobody is going to hold back the grave from you. And he says the following. He tells them the following. Vaydaber itam le'emor. Avram says to Bnei Ched the following. Im yeshet nafshechem. There is that word. Im yeshet nafshechem likboret metim ilfanai. If your nefesh is to bury, help me bury my dead, i.e. Sarah. Shema'uni ufigu libe Ephron. Let me meet with Ephron so I can buy. Im yesh et nafshechem. What does nafshechem mean in that context? Rashi says it. I'm sure the article translated as such also. I don't have it, but you can check right there. Im yesh es nafshechem. Im yesh es ritzonechem. Nefesh and ratzon are synonymous. Nefesh means ratzon. If it is your desire to help me, if it is your nefesh, it means if it is your desire. Mesiras nefesh doesn't just mean that you have to, you know, when the guy holds the gun to your head, that's mesiras nefesh. Mesiras nefesh means that when I have a ratzon to do something, I'm sitting in the Beis Midrash with my chavrusa, and next to me I suddenly hear a conversation about my favorite movie ever, the, you know, Star Wars, Trek, whatever. Chronicles, Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Flies, whatever it is. Rings, right? Flies is the book. Boat. And I love that movie. I know every scene, every line. And I really want to join in the conversation. You know what happens if at that point I put down my head back into my Gemara and I say, Tanu Rabbanan? I've just been Moser Nefesh. I gave up my ruts and I've just been Moser Nefesh. A person's greatest desire is to live. Right? It's innate in us. It's a reaction. We run away from trouble. We fear death. So our greatest ratzon is to live. Mesiras Nefesh, therefore the epitome of Mesiras Nefesh is to give up our life. But any ratzon, anywhere between my desire to have an ice cream sandwich for dinner when I get home tonight and giving up my life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is all on the spectrum of Mesiras Nefesh. Right? Anytime, every day, I am presented with 101 opportunities to do my very own Akedah, to sacrifice my love. There was no greater love than the love that Avraham Avinu had for Yitzchak. And he was Moser his Nefesh. It wasn't Yitzchak that was going to be Moser. It was Avram who was Moser Nefesh on that Mizbeach. And we too are Moser Nefesh, or potentially are put to the Nisan of the Akedah on a daily basis, to be Moser Nefesh. Should I stay a full year? I have to start with my life. After all, I have to start to earn a living. It could very well be. This is not really about whether you stay or go. But the bottom line is, it's also an opportunity to be Moser Nefesh. Let's put it this way. The mere fact, let's put it in the half full, not in the half empty. Anyone that showed up here, Shana Bet, has already been Moser Nefesh. Because as much as the Ratzon was at some point to come back Shana Bet, I can't imagine anyone that walked through the door a year and a half ago to Leva Torah really wanted to come back a second year. And if they did, it was not for the learning and for the it was not for the learning and for the tremendous opportunities to grow in their avodas Hashem. So the fact that you're here now, advancing in your learning and growing in your avodas Hashem, means that you are moser nefesh. You are giving up ritzonus, and that is the nisayon of the akedah, moser nefesh. The pasuk in Koheles says, Yosef das, Yosef machov. The more knowledge, the more it hurts. So what does that mean? It means the following. A person is only given tests by a Kadosh Baruch Hu based on what he can handle. Any nisayon that you get is given to you based on what a Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks you can handle. So that when you are on a low rung kivyachol of avodas Hashem, the nisayon that you're going to get is going to be an easier nisayon than your fear on a higher rung in your avodas Hashem. My nisayonas on a daily basis are much easier, not necessarily for me, but from an objective standpoint, the nisayonas that I have on a daily basis are much easier than the nisayonas than Rav Kanievsky has on a daily basis. Right? Because he is on a higher level. That's Yosef Das. The more you're Yosef, then Yosef Machob, the harder it's going to get. Right? I may think that I have it hard, but boy, if I was facing the nisyonos that Rav Elyasha was facing, no, that's really hard. What I have is a piece of cake. So here, we have an interesting twist. Because if you're an Oved Hashem, you'll be able to discern this pattern. That the more of an Oved Hashem that you become, the more you're Yosef Das, then the more Yosef Machov. Suddenly, wait a minute, life is only getting harder and harder. I'm getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And now it's getting harder and harder. That gets us back to our Mishnah about Avraham. Avraham Avinu had 10 nisyonos, each one progressively harder and harder. He passed one, he gets closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gets another one, and each one is getting harder and harder and harder. The only way that it's possible to keep on going in that situation is if you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of Ahava. If you're serving Him out of Yira, the only thing that's motivating you is Yira, then you would just say, so let me just stop right here. I'll stop. Break the pattern. Break the chain. If I don't do more nisyonos, then they won't get increasingly harder. Only a person who is Ohev HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to keep on going further and further up on these rungs of nisyonos. That is why the Hodia Chibasa. That is why that is so significant in the Mishnah. The Hodia Kama Chibasa Shel Avram Avinu. To teach us just how much Avram, that is the only way he could have kept on going. And that is why it is significant for us to be aware of this Mishnah. We have to know that a life of being an Eved Hashem is Koruch B'Nisyonos. It is enveloped in Nisayon after Nisayon, test after trial, after tribulation. It's an ongoing cycle. The more we pass, the more tests we get, the harder they become.